Amen. Good morning. Sorry. There you go. Everything okay up there? Who's up there? Who's hiding behind the computer screen? Stick your head around. Ah, okay. Got to have a little bit of accountability to make sure you know you're in church, right? Amen. Good morning. Well, try that again. Good morning. It's a whole lot better. It's so exciting to hear about the young people's experience yesterday, and I can't wait for camp. Those of you that will be there first or third weeks, I'll have the privilege of being there with you. And I'm a little disappointed that it's not first, second, third, and fourth, but the schedule didn't work that way this year. Hopefully next year we'll get that coordinated and it'll work out to do that. It's probably the biggest highlight of my year to be able to walk on the property at Camp Yes. It's just incredible what the Lord does and has done through that property, and thank the Lord for it. All right. Let me, do you have something to write on? Can you grab something to write on? Grab a pen, something to write on. If you've got your faith promise card, maybe you can write on the back of it, because it is going to be faith promise related, or just a piece of paper. Everybody grab something. Everybody, if you can, grab something to write with and to write on. If you don't have something, look at somebody next to you. They'll be kind and get it to you, okay? And if they're not, pastor will take care of you. Pastors can take care of everything. That's what they do, right? Yeah. Amen. Amen. All right? Everybody got something? Maybe if you don't have a pencil and a pen, you probably have a cell phone and you probably have notes that you can put there somewhere. That'll work too. All right, pardon me?
Scared to bring it out.
Yeah, you can bring it out. I won't chastise you for bringing it out by any means. I just hope you have your Bible with you also.
Amen.
You say, I do, electronically. You have to listen to last night's message for that one, okay? Yeah. Amen. All right, good. Here's a definition I'd like to give you for faith promise giving, okay? I'm sure Pastor has probably mentioned this sometime over the years, but it's one I like to use as often as possible to help us to understand what it is and how we can be best used in it, okay? So write this down if you would. Faith promise giving is money that God will give through you. Money that God will give through you that He would not have given to you except He knew you would give it to worldwide missions. I'll say it again. Faith promise giving is money that God will give through you that He would not have given to you except He knew that you would give it to worldwide missions. Okay, everybody got it? Be needed again? Money that God will give through you that He would not have given to you except He knew you would give it to worldwide missions. All right, we'll give that to you again tonight if you didn't get it, because I need the time to be able to preach also, okay? And but what that is, the key word in that definition is the word through. So we believe that God is a God of order. Amen?
Yes.
We believe that God is a God of order. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Now, I mentioned last night that everybody in the church can have a ministry, and I think I need to mention that again based on that response right there. And everybody should use the gifts and the talents and the abilities given to them by God in His church for His glory. I believe that. Everybody should have something that you're doing in your local church for the glory of God. You say, I'm not really sure what that would be. Talk to Pastor. He'll help you on that. Some folks here might be saying, look around. We're pretty full. You think there's enough for everybody to do something. I promise you, if you will go to Pastor, it will take him about that long to give you a list of possibilities. Okay? There's plenty for everybody to do. But what's most important is it's not just plenty for everybody to do something. It's important for everybody to do something. It's important for you to use what God has given to you for His glory. Amen?
Amen.
Very, very important. And so some folks say, I don't know what my ministry can be. I don't know what I could do. All right, here it is. This can be your ministry. And I'm telling you, you can be a real encouragement to your pastor if you'll use this ministry, okay? Everybody do this. Go ahead. Everybody, that can be your ministry. You say, how in the world could I promise you when pastor's preaching and he sees folk, now not this, not that when he's preaching, but this, that he knows that you're on board, that he knows that you're paying attention, that God is using the word in your heart. It can be a blessing. Maybe you're not somebody that likes to say amen out loud, or you don't like to vocalize your praise, if you would, but just let them know. Let them know you're involved. Let them know you're with them. It can be a tremendous help for him, and it can be an encouragement to those that are in the backslidden section toward the back, seeing you shake your head towards the front. Amen? All right, amen. Well, that's another message also. But anyways, so the key is it's money that God will give through you. Remember, this is God, and he knows. He already knows. If that money is going to go through you, or if it's going to stop at you and buy a boat or fishing pole or lawnmower or golf clubs or a hockey stick or skates or shoes or a purse. Get the ladies in there somewhere. Amen? He knows. He's God. He's God. In fact, I've told some folks, let me go ahead and do this. Let me grab you. Will you come here, please? Hurry. Come. You're taking up my preaching time. Is this one of your boys?
Yes, sir.
Is this the good one, or? What's your name?
David.
Up, straight. Shoulders back. Hey. Good boy. All right. Where'd you get your good looks from?
They're not genetic.
Say my... Just in case you didn't hear that, it was... They're not genetic. That is pretty smart for how old are you?
13.
13, wow. Anyway, okay. Now with that definition, what's the name again?
David.
Is it still David?
Yes.
All right. Do you realize that you could give more money through this church for worldwide missions than anybody else in this building? You just know yes is the right answer there, don't you? But you certainly don't know how, right? So how could I do that? Do you have a job yet? No.
I do odd things every now and then.
Okay. You're 13. You need to be doing odd things every more now and then.
Amen.
Yeah, more work. Time for you to start paying your rent at home.
Amen.
Okay, here it is. It's money that God will give through you. It has nothing to do with your finances. It has nothing to do with your abilities. It has nothing to do with your investments. It has nothing to do with your checking account or your savings account or your weekly check. It has everything to do with your faith in God to give through you. To give through you. It's his. It all belongs to him. Now, there are levels of faith in this, and there is order, I believe, that God uses in order to make it all happen. Order number one is salvation. Obviously, we're talking about folks that know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, because everything in this book and everything to do with God makes no sense to the world.
That's right.
It doesn't make any sense at all. But it makes all sense to the believer, because it's given to us directly from his word, and his word makes sense to the believer. His word doesn't make sense to the non-believer. The natural man understands not the things of the scriptures, but the saved does, right? And so salvation is first, and then obedience is second. The first step of obedience is following the Lord and believer's baptism. And it is a step of obedience. Obedience, okay? How many of you have a dad? Everybody has a dad. How many of you understand what it is to obey your dad? How many of you know the repercussions of not obeying your dad? Only the old people just raised their hands. We were raised in a different generation, and we understand the consequences for disobedience. Why don't we obey God? Baptism is just a command. It's a command. I remember one time, my dad would ask me to do something, and I said something to the tune of, let me think about that for a while. Bad, really bad answer. I only had that answer one time. What makes us think that we can say to God, let me think about that a while. Wait till I get comfortable with that. You're a good leaning post. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but have not yet followed the Lord and believer's baptism, you are out of fellowship with God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not being obedient is out of fellowship. And so why would you wait? Just follow the Lord and believer's baptism. It's the greatest testimony of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the representation of the death, burial, and resurrection of the one who you have given your life to. Amen?
Amen.
And so I'd encourage you. I mean, I don't know if anybody in here has not been baptized. I hope you all have been. But if you haven't yet been baptized, talk to your preacher. Man, I'd love to know that victory has been wrought in those who have been really discouraged about getting that done. I hope you can. Now, I'm afraid of water. Really? I can show you. That's Methodist. That's sprinkling. You're okay. I've had experiences in my years of pastoring of folks that have followed the Lord in believers' baptism in wheelchairs, with crutches, folks that are just terrified of what it's all about, but once they step in that water, it all goes away. I've seen folks baptized by chopping up ice in the river to be able to get under the water. It's just a step of obedience. And then, obviously, is church membership. I'm not really sure why that's becoming so weak today, but it amazes me the things that folks are willing to join and the things that they're not willing to join.
Mm-hmm.
Church membership. I hope that you become a member of a great church just like this one or this one right here if you live in the area, for sure. By the way, where's that pianist? Is that you? I haven't met you yet, but you're a Baucom? Amen. Wonderful. Beautiful. Great. I understand you sing too, right? I wish you would have sang this morning, but anyway. Amen. So save, baptize, church membership, and then the giving comes in. And the giving, number one, is your tithe. Giving out the first fruits of your income, your tithe. If you do not tithe, but you give to missions, it's out of order. That's not the way God designs to bless it. Everything God designs, He designs to do through the authority of the local church. Amen?
Amen?
Through the authority of the local church. And so the local church obviously needs to come first in regards to finances, and then you start considering missions. First, I believe, it's the way that I teach it, you consider your missions giving, your faith promise giving, out of what you have. That's first. That's 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, which we're not going to have time to deal with today. But giving out of what you have. That is, you have money set aside in your account, maybe for a car replacement or whatever that it is. And the Lord speaks to your heart and says, I want you to give such and such amount. And it's not that you don't have it. You have it, but it's designated for something else. And you, by faith, are willing to use some of that designated money for obeying the command of God, the impression of God to give to missions, trusting Him by faith that He'll replace that money. And He will. And not only will he replace it, many times it will be substantially more than what you could imagine or think, giving out of what you have. And then once you understand that principle, then you move to the definition of what I just gave you principle, because that's giving out of what you don't have. There's no understanding about that. That's why he, David, right, still, that's why he can give as much as anybody else in here, because it has nothing to do with his income or lack of income. It has everything to do with him asking God to give out of God's resources. And he owns it all. Amen?
Amen.
He does own the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he does own the hills that the cattle roam on. It's all his. And the economy does not affect God. Amen.
Right.
It has nothing to do with it. God owns it all. And so he is just looking for an open conduit that he can give the money through, that he knows it will go through and not stop at, through him into the local church and out to worldwide missions. And so the question is how much can you trust God to give through you? How big is your God? And how obedient is our faith? You did good. Thank you very much for your help. I didn't say leave. Okay, go ahead. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 helps us to understand a little bit about why we do that. Why has Pastor been talking about this and having special speakers come in for a month? What is it that we can have accomplished as a result of this? In 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 15, it says, "Not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased." I haven't heard a number from Pastor in regards to what he's praying about for the Faith Promise Commitment this year. I have no idea what he's hoping for. But I do know this. If two things would happen, whatever that number is that he's got in the back of his mind or in his heart, would probably be surpassed with these two principles. Principle number one, increase your faith. Just increase your faith. You see, one of the greatest things that could happen is if everybody is involved in faith promise giving. Everybody in here. It's not necessarily the amount, it's the participation. If everybody here is involved in some way in getting the Word of God around the world, the gospel around the world, that other people might be saved, that would be amazing.
Amen.
Everybody giving something.
Amen.
And then when you increase your faith, it's giving more than you did the year before. You say, well, why do you think I have to give more than I did the year before? Because there's so much more of you spiritually speaking today than there was last year. If you're a faithful attender of this church, how many messages have you heard over the course of last year? How much preaching have you been able to digest? That in itself has increased your walk with God, and just a natural response to that would be giving more, because there's more of you spiritually speaking to be able to use.
Amen.
Amen? Everybody giving something, everybody giving more than they did the year before. How has that happened? By increasing your faith. When's the last time you increased your faith? When's the last time you actually know that you increased your faith? In order to know you've increased your faith, you've had to put yourself in a position to have to make that happen. We don't just increase our faith automatically. It's not just something that all of a sudden happens. There has to be a reason to do it. And so you stretch yourself, you put that amount on this card that is an amount that does not necessarily make sense to you, but it makes total sense to God, and you have to increase your faith in order to know that that's going to happen. It's just a natural response out of all that God has given to you. So to increase your faith, why is it that we want to do this? When your faith is increased, what happens? That we, who's the we? Missionaries. That's what this is all about, right? So that we, the missionaries, shall be enlarged by you. Every one of us want our investment in missions to be amazing. And we want you to pray about that. I don't know you folks, but I'm sure in a crowd this size, there's some of you that have investments somewhere. You have investments out there in something. I don't know what it is. And I'm also sure that you pray about that investment often. You often say, Lord, let this happen. Let this increase, or let this market be good, or whatever the case is. You certainly pray about your investments. Well, the greatest investment is what we invest in spiritually speaking.
Amen.
And so the more we invest in that, the more we naturally would want to pray about that. Right? That's just a natural response. The more you have an investment out there somewhere, the more that is, the more you're going to pray that that investment is prosperous. It's just naturally what we do. And so that the missionaries would be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly to do what? Preach the gospel in regions beyond you. That's what it's all about. As we give, the more we give, the more it can go in regions beyond you, the more the missionaries can preach the gospel, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand, but that he glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. There's the answer. It's all about the glory of God. It's nothing about me. Every dime that the Lord allows me to give, amen, to to worldwide missions this next year is all for the glory of God.
Amen.
How much glory do you want to give him? And when you put that amount on that card, does that amount reflect an amount of glory that you want to give to Almighty God? You say, well, you know, by the way that you're saying that, preacher, is there a limit? Yes, there is. The limit is the amount that God wants to give through you. And he'll give you peace about what that is. He'll give you peace about what that is. If you're someone who's, you've had this card for several weeks and you've been praying about it, but you can't get peace about what it is you want to put on that amount, think bigger. Think more. If I'm not getting peace at $100 a month or whatever the amount is, man, I just can't get peace about this. Is it because it's too much? Or is it because you're not trusting him for enough? I'd encourage you, just try it. Think about more and see if God gives you peace that way. And if he doesn't, he'll give you the peace.
Amen.
Amen? I hope that that'll help in regards to as you're considering doing that. And then tonight, I'll give you one more nugget on that that hopefully will help. Go back with me, if you would, to Mark chapter number 2. Mark chapter number 2. Let's pray and we'll start in verse number 1. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would use these comments, this definition, these scriptures to help every one of us here, myself included, to be as faithful as we possibly can in obedience to you. If there's somebody here that does not yet have a Bible reason to know for sure that heaven's their home, I pray they'll not leave that way. I pray they'll receive you as their personal Savior today. And for those that are saved and they have not yet been obedient in believer's baptism, I pray that they'd be willing to take care of that, become obedient to you and set that fellowship with you the way you've designed it in your word. And then, Father, for those who need to join the church, they've been attending for quite some time, but they haven't yet made that step of obedience and in joining the church, that which they love so much and want to be associated with, want to represent it, want to use their gifts and their talents in it. Lord, I pray they can make that decision even today. And then, Father, in regards to our finances, thank you so much for how that you provide for us. Thank you for the health that we have to even be able to work. Thank you for the places that we have to be able to earn an income. And thank you for how you provide our needs exceeding more than what we need. You've given us so much. We are such a blessed people. And I pray, Father, that we'll be obedient and honoring you in our finances. Thank you, Father, for how that you are doing that through this church. I pray that their faith promise would increase even more than what they thought it possibly could, and that you would receive all the glory for every penny that's given through this church for worldwide missions. Open our eyes in your word to behold wondrous things through this principle in Mark chapter 2, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, verse number 1 says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house." Now notice that second word, and again, obviously if the word again is used, then something had taken place prior to that, right? And so the again right here would be back in chapter 1 and verse 21, where it says, "And they went into Capernaum," there it is, "and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught, and they were astonished at his doctrine." They were astonished at his doctrine. I love that statement because there's so much talk discouraging preachers from preaching doctrine today, when doctrine is just the truths of the precious Word of God. We don't want to shy away from the truths of the Word of God. We want to ingest it and digest it and think about it as much as we possibly can, the truths of the Word of God. How amazing it would be if our attitude when we walked into the church house was, "I'm going to be astonished at the teaching of the precious word of God today. They were. They were astonished at that. And then it says, after some days, it was noised that he was in the house. Now, I don't know what you do when you talk to other people about the church that you come to, the church that you worship in. There's all kinds of statements that you can make to people out there as you talk to them. As you're saying, hey, I'm such and such from New Testament Baptist Church. Would love for you to come and have a part of what we do. Well, why would I want to come to New Testament Baptist Church? Maybe you'd say something like, well, if you're looking for a friendly church, we've got one, and you do. No question about that. Nobody can come in here and leave saying that that is not a friendly church. Praise the Lord for that. Maybe you'd say, well, if you're looking for a church that has wonderful music, obviously you've got that. You have lots of talent, musically speaking, here for the glory of God, and that could be a good thing. Maybe it would be, well, if you're looking for a church where the preacher preaches from the Word of God, from the open Bible, you've got that. There's all kinds of wonderful things that you could say as you promote your church, but I can't think of any better way to promote it than that right there. It was noised, it was promoted, it was talked about that he was in the house. Amen?
Amen.
We already have the promise. We don't have to wonder about it. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. We already have the promise that he's here. Our issue is that we need to become awesomely aware of the fact that he's here.
Amen.
It's one thing to know that he's here. It's another thing to be aware that he's here. Changes your attitude about it completely. It was noise that he was in the house. And straightway, how many? What's your Bible say?
Many
were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. Now, I don't know what you do when you read your Bible, but I just personally take it literally. I don't have to have lots of other stuff to help me to understand some words that we understand. And that word many, I can understand it. I don't know what your definition of that many would be, but here's mine. Somewhere around this building, there's probably a label somewhere that says what the number is allowed to be in here by the fire code. I don't know. Do you know what that number is? Whatever the number is. Maybe it's 150 people or whatever. By fire code, they would say that's all that you can have. That's full. That's not this many. I don't think that's this many. Some of you might say, well, if every row was filled up like that back row. By the way, why is the back row filled up more? Well, anyway. If all the rows were filled up like those in the back row, then I mean that would mean there's not a seat available. Every seat is taken. Many folks would say that's full. That's many. I don't think that's this many. I don't think that's this full because it says there was no room to receive them. So if there's no room to receive them, in my interpretation of that, they're lined up at the door. They're lined up on the steps. They're lined up in the lobby. I'm in Canada, the foyer. There's seats in the aisles, both aisles. There's seats all across the altar. They're up here on the platform. They're in the baptistry. They're hanging in the windows. They're packed in the parking lot. There is no room. Everybody understand that? You say, what's the big deal about that? If you don't get that, this context just falls apart. This context has to have that for it to make any sense. Let me show you why it has to have that. And they came unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which is born of four. So there's one sick, and there's four brothers, right? One sick, four brothers, and when they, what's the next two words in your Bible? Could not. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press. In my mind's eye, I'm thinking maybe this happened before. Maybe these brothers have been working on this for quite some time to get his brother under the preaching of the Word of God, knowing that if Jesus could touch him, he could be healed. I don't know how many times they've tried to do this before, but if you go back to chapter 1 and verse number 32, it says, and at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him, what's the word?
All
that were diseased and them that were possessed with the devils, and what's the word?
All
the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed, what's the word?
Many,
not all. There's a good possibility that he was in that meeting and was a part of the many, but not a part of the all. It's a good possibility that the brothers said, you know what? We're going to find another place. We're not going to get discouraged by the roadblocks. We're not going to quit because of the difficulties. We're going to find another place. And they heard of this meeting that's about to take place, and they come over the hill, and they look down at the church property, and they go, are you serious? I mean, there's no room. There's none. The parking lot is packed. People are hanging in the windows. There is literally no room. What are we going to do? I mean, we've tried this so many times before. You know what, brother? Did they quit? No, but what does it take to get us to quit? How many times have we attempted to do something? How many times have we trusted God for something, but we didn't get the answer that we wanted? By the way, if you're somebody that ever uses the phrase, God did not answer that prayer, that's not biblical. God always answers prayer. God always answers prayer. Okay, let me ask you this. I'm getting sidetracked just a little bit. I'm not going to get through this. Let me ask you this. How many of you ever heard your dad or your mom say no to you? Because they didn't love you? No, because they knew the end result would be worse if they said yes. Because parents do know some things. Some, by experience, amen? And so they knew that, and so they told you no. Did they answer you? Was no an answer? How come, preacher, everywhere I go, all over North America, and I look at all these prayer bulletins, how come in the prayer bulletins, all I ever see for answers to prayer are yes? Have you ever seen in any prayer bulletin anywhere in all of your travels where somebody put, God answered this prayer, and the answer was no? But is no an answer? No is an answer. He always answers. Sometimes we just don't like it, and so we don't acknowledge it. But it's always an answer. These people may have looked and said, wow, we've done everything we can to try to get him, but the answer just keeps being no. But we're not going to accept it this time. And so it gets very interesting, as you know. And when they could not come nigh for him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. Now, I was brought up in a carpenter's family. My father-in-law was a custom builder of custom homes for 58 years. When I started seeing his daughter at 15 years of age, he said, you're welcome to see Shelly if you want to, but if you're going to see her, you have to work for me. I said, okay. And so I started working for him and worked with him pretty much all my life. When I had opportunities, even when I was in ministry, I'd help him. And I've just been around construction all my life. And so I don't really know what the construction was of this particular building. I know it wasn't like this. Certainly didn't look like this. Certainly didn't have this stability back then that we have right now. I don't know. You can look at some other passages and it talks about tile roofs, and maybe that's what it was. But what I do know is that when they uncovered the roof, they did not just pick up a piece of tile and put it over the side and pick up another piece of tile and put it over the side and very carefully. Oh, and by the way, in case you forgot, there's preaching going on down here. Everybody okay? There's preaching going on in the building that's packed, that there's no room anywhere in the building for another person to come in. I mean, it's possible when those brothers got close to the building that they said, excuse me, could you move? It's real important that we get our brother up to the front. And the people are saying, are you serious? I've been here 2 hours just to get this spot. I'm not moving. I mean, they weren't willing. And so instead of just taking that as a no, they got creative and came up with a way to get it done. And so what did they do? Wait a minute. They uncovered the roof. How'd they get up there? How'd they get on the roof? I'm relatively sure there wasn't a couple of 12-foot step ladders just leaning up against the building waiting for those guys to come to carry the guy up on top of the roof. I have no idea. I mean, when you think about it logistically, the guy's laying on a bed, right? And so in my mind's eye, there's one brother on every corner of the bed. And it's very important that every one of them man their corner, or it could be a disaster. I mean, it could be to where right when they're in the process of lifting them up, the guy that's on the bottom right corner said, hey, I've had enough of this. I want that top corner. Trouble. The poor guy's going to have more problems than what he's already got, right? The point is every one of them had to man their corner properly to get him up there, however they went about getting him up there. And do you know that there's a corner for you in this church? There's something for you to do here. And if you are not manning that corner, there's a good chance that that corner is empty. If you're not fulfilling the responsibility that God has for you in this church, there's a pretty good possibility that whatever that is not being done in this church. God has given you a talent. He's given you an ability specific for you to be able to do some specific things for the glory of God. There might not be another person in here that can do it as well as you can. And if you're not doing that for His glory in His church, there's a good possibility it's not even being done at all. And so they manned their corner. They got them up on the roof. And if I said to you they didn't carefully remove that, I said it because of the context, because it says, and when they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, and so what's happening is this place is totally packed out, right, for preaching, and somewhere right above you, I got him in the word. I love that. I love that right there. You're still in that word. You didn't even know I was standing here. That's powerful right there. It's happening right there. Hear it? It's right there. Right above you. We've got a problem. You can't move. And I assume this is your wife, hopefully. I've got myself in so much trouble when I say that sometimes. It's crazy. The things that I've got myself in trouble. And your natural response is you want to protect her, right? I mean, stuff is coming down. It's falling right on top of your head. What are you going to do? You can't move. You see why it's important to understand the context? It's packed. Nobody can go anywhere. But we don't have time to develop that further because it says when they had broken it up, they let down the bed and it's right there. It's right on you. You okay? Hopefully you got some bulk to be able to handle that bed. There's a couple of good teenagers right behind you that'll help you out a little bit. She's saying, no, please. I don't have much left of me. There's some bulk right there. Here's some bulk right here. So get some help because you got to hold them up for a while. Jesus is preaching. We don't know how long he preaches. I promise you longer than I'm preaching today. Okay? And so you're holding them up. What does it say? They let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay, and when Jesus saw... What's the word? Have you ever focused on that? When Jesus saw their faith, not his faith. When Jesus saw the four brothers' faith, the ones that when they saw the crowd, they didn't give up. They believed by faith if they did everything that they could possibly do to get it done, it would get done. And when Jesus saw their faith, we at First Bible International are all about getting the Word of God translated into the heart language of those who have no faith. They have no faith. As your guys read the missionary letters to you, they're reading missionary letters from places where their faith is in rocks. Their faith is in trees. Their faith is in, it's not the worship of cows, it's in the millions of gods that they believe live in the bellies of the cows. Their faith is in the worship of gnats. They worship gnats. Can you imagine worshiping a gnat? I don't know why. Maybe it's because there's more of them than there is anything else in the area. I have no idea. But that's where their faith is. They don't have faith in God. They don't even know what faith in God is. And so if they have no faith, they don't know where that faith is, whose faith is going to work for them? Yours.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's your faith. You see, there's so much more about this giving to missions. There's a reason that we call it faith promise giving, because it's your faith that's going to get the job done for them. It's more than just giving. It's your faith in the way that you pray for your missionaries, that God would do something amazing. Hey, think about this. In our day of technology, one of the things I love about preaching here is I happen to be in a place where the preacher likes me. It doesn't happen very often. And when that happens, lots of times when I make suggestions, I come back the next time and you're doing it. That's happened here so many times, it humbles me big time. And if you do this one, it's going to be pretty incredible. What would happen if... What's the guy's name that read the prayer letter?
Peter.
Where are you, Peter? Where? Peter, what would happen if you did this? You're reading a prayer letter, and every prayer letter has needs, right? You just don't read prayer letters where needs are not given somewhere in the prayer letter. And say you're reading one, and it's from somebody in India, and they sent a request saying, we're in an emergency situation. Our daughter has been bitten by a poisonous snake, and we're not sure if she's going to live. We're seeking out to all of our prayer warriors to pray that God would do something miraculous and save our daughter. What would happen, Peter, if right then you said, hey, stop. Everybody stop. Grab your phones right now. I'm not asking you to do that, but you say that. Everybody grab your phones right now. Put this email address in your phone right now, and you give everybody the email address and give them 1 minute. Say, just send this person an email right now saying, we're praying for your daughter, that God would do something miraculous. We want you to know that you've got prayer warriors at New Testament Baptist Church in Hamilton, Ontario, and we love you, and we're praying for you. And all of a sudden, you say, now press send, and 50 people in this room just sent 50 emails to that family over in India. You have any idea what that would do to that family? How long did it take you? It took you maybe 2 minutes. Our technology is incredible. Why don't we use it more for the glory of God instead of the garbage that it's been being used for today? Why not take that opportunity? Even the children can do that. You know how lonely some of these kids are over there in those places? What would it be if we just encouraged our kids? Amen? Get with your mom and dad, get with them and say, hey, this is such and such, say your name and so on. Send them, let them know that the kids are praying for their kids. Powerful. It's their faith. It's that kind of faith that's going to make a difference for the glory of God in the things super abundantly above all that we could ask or think would ever happen. Amen. That kind of faith. Amen. Not just writing a check. Praying specifically. Letting them know that you love them and that you're exercising your faith on their behalf. It was their faith. And he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. It's your faith that puts these books on the printing press in Milford, Ohio. It's your faith. We now have the capabilities in Milford, Ohio to print 30 million Bibles a year. We have the capability. We have the presses in place. We have the budget that's already there. Our budget is $1.1 million a month just for paper. Did you get that? $1.1 million a month. You say, how in the world? Well, I'm pretty sure if God put the press in the building, he probably has a plan to put paper on the press. Amen? Amen. And that plan is to use people like you with the right faith exercise to make it happen. It's your faith that gets the Bibles translated. It's your faith that gets them on the press. It's your faith that gets them off the press and goes out to local churches like this, and they put it all together, and they put the cover on it, and they put it in boxes, and they tape it all up, and they put it in a container. It's your faith that gets it in the container and gets it on a barge going across the ocean somewhere. It's your faith that gets it over there. It's your faith that gets it to the pastors in that country. It's your faith that those pastors take those Bibles and they open up those boxes and they hand deliver for the first time a Bible in their language for that person to ever be able to read. Have you ever watched somebody receive a Bible for the first time in India? If you haven't seen that, just Google someone receiving a Bible for the first time. 3 or 4 videos will come up. A couple of them are ours. It is astounding how they receive their Bibles compared to us. They take that Bible and it's got cellophane over it for protection. They don't even take the cellophane off it for a while. They embrace it as if it's one of their own firstborn children. And they put it to their lips and they kiss it. And they love it so much, the Word of God. It's difficult for them just to take the cellophane off of it so that they can carefully open it and be able to read it. And we have them. And by the way, there's nothing wrong if you have 10 of them. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Unless the cellophane is on all of them still. And they're never opened and read. And they're never laid out on the floor in front of you when you're on your knees and you're begging God, and tears fall from your eyes onto the pages of the scripture, wanting God to do something miraculous by faith in these people's lives. It's your faith. It's your faith.
Amen.
Now, with that in mind, when your faith is increased, every one of us in this room needs to increase our faith. There's so much more we need to do with our faith for our missions families. Why? Why is it that we want to do any of that? What's the reason for it? Look down at verse number 11. I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. Okay. You okay? Because he's about to get off his shoulders. They wouldn't let him in. But somehow, miraculously, like the parting of the Red Sea, they made a way, and he took up his bed and walked right out the front door. How that happens, I don't know. I don't have to know. All I know is it happened. Amen? But why did it happen? It happened because of this. And immediately he arose, took up his bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Wouldn't that be a tremendous testimony? If when next week Pastor reads the Faith Promise commitments for this year, that there's a gasp in the congregation. People go, we have never seen it like that here before. And as the results come in from the prayer letters, and each one is another result of your faithfulness in increasing your faith, that when you get to the next year's missions conference and you look and see what God did through you, you say, glory to God. We've never seen anything like that before. When your faith is increased. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would help every one of us, please, to see the importance of our faith. We have such a responsibility to exercise our faith for people who have none in the right thing. Please forgive us for our lack of faith. Please forgive us for our lack of commitment to faith. And oh God, I pray that this year more than ever, we would do things that would have a result of people glorifying you and giving you all the